Why have we asked our contractor we found on Angie.com to be our kid's legal guardian? Because he took such good care when redoing our basement that we knew we could trust him to care for our kids.
We only met a month ago.
Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Dear McDonald's, your breakfast menu? Fire. Tens across the board. I could be happy with anything, even though I order the same thing every time. Thanks for not judging me. I'll try something new next time. Maybe.
Score a 2-for-$5 deal on a sausage McMuffin with egg and more. Limited time only. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer. Single item at regular price.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
America leads the world in medicine development. It matters. We get new medicines first, nearly 3 years faster. 5 million Americans go to work because we make medicines here at home. And not relying on other countries keeps us safe. But China is racing to overtake us. Will we let them, or will we choose to stay ahead? When America leads, America cures. Let's tell Washington to keep us in the lead.
Learn how at americacures.com. Paid for by Pharma.
Take Command with Logan Paulson and Grant Paulson, welcoming you back. So we talked about what Washington's done and what is an 11-player class if you count Marcus Mariota, who hit the market and came back. But 10 external pieces coming in here to add a ton of talent, basically a fifth of the roster. In the first wave of free agency, way more aggressive. They got a lot younger and a lot faster. That's all good. About what they didn't do, though, let's talk. So wide receiver, we know they wanted upgrades, and we know this because they finished a runner-up and almost gave Alec Pierce $30 million. They finished a runner-up to Romeo Doubs and almost gave him close to $20 million. So it tells you there was an urgency and an aggressiveness there. It tells you what they think about the receiver room and that they obviously need help. I mean, they've got right now, let's call it what it is, it's Terry McLaurin and. Is Luke McCaffrey going to come on? Is Jalen Lane ready for the bright lights? Treylon Burks made a great catch, but has not yet proven himself as a legitimate two. So the first part of the wide receiver conversation, we'll get to Brandon Ayuk in a second, but they swung and missed a little bit here. I'm not even bothered, certainly, by the Pierce swing and miss. I actually am glad they did, in a sense, at that rate. But what now, Logan? And how do they fix this thing?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I just kind of was looking over the remaining UDFAs, and there are some guys that are talented, but are definitely more projections, kind of more developmental pieces. And you've got two guys like that on the roster already. So I do think you need to be thinking about depth. And how do you get that done? I don't have a great answer for you. I do look at the draft this year, and I'm like, man, if you need a position for the Commanders, right? We just talked about how they went bonkers for defensive lineman, defensive edge specifically. To me, that kind of shows that maybe they don't think there's going to be an edge there at 7. There's probably not going to be a game-changing edge at 71. I do feel differently about receiver. I think there will be an edge player a wide receiver at 7. And I do think that there's going to be a receiver at 71 who's going to be a good player. Like, we were just doing a mock draft on my Drive to the Draft show, which is the draft show I do for the Commanders. And, like, you know, picking at 71, there's like Elijah Sherratt, there's Josh Cameron, there's, Malachi Fields. There's all these players that I think can be difference makers for an offense there in the third round. And maybe that's part of the calculus. And obviously, like you said, they were trying to be hyper aggressive getting receivers in here, but maybe in terms of difference maker, maybe you say, hey man, like, of these guys available in terms of free agency, we sign one that we feel comfortable about that gives us some solid depth next to Terry, and then we try to make that big swing in the draft this year. So that to me is maybe the way I would handle this, just because I think the pool is so deep. Like, it's so funny watching receivers now. They're all so refined, they're all so polished, and I do think, again, there are going to be some good football players there, again, 7 or 71, that play receiver specifically.
Yeah, it's funny you did that, because I actually pulled up this PFN simulator here. I wanted to go through a quick mock draft to see what's there in the third round real quick at receiver, just to see what that looked like. So I've got one here. I'm just simulating as the Commanders at full speed. So that means we do have to make a pick at 7, so we can add that to the intrigue here. So at 7, this worked out okay. You're debating between Sonny Styles, Jeremiah Love, or Caleb Downs. You can take one of the – there's other guys, but those are the big three.
I'd probably go Sonny Styles there. I think he's an absolute stud. I think he tested really well. His measurements are good. I think that's the one thing with Caleb Downs. Excellent football player. If they took him at 7, I'd be ecstatic. But I do think he's kind of slowly shifting out of that top 10 range, just because, you know, 5'11", arm length was kind of little bit subpar. Like, and just when you think about the guys that go top 10, they're like these physical measurement, height, weight, speed freaks, in addition to being really good football players. So I think, again, you know, Kyle Hamilton was at 11. Maybe that's more his range, kind of just out of the top 10.
Okay. But, so Jeremiah Love would be third of the hit list there for you?
I'd probably say second. It's Sonny Styles or Jeremiah Love. And I think the one thing with Jeremiah Love, yeah, he's an excellent football player. I just am having a really hard time with the dollars and cents of the running back position at seven or in the top 10. And again, like,
can you say maybe the same about safety?
Same with safety.
And
same
by the way, I mean, not to go too crazy because Mike at the top of the market is pretty big, but you can say the same about ILB too. I mean, no, Mike,
it's 100. And I think that's the funny thing about this draft. Like, you know, like when you talk about the best players, like the top, you know, 10 players in the draft, it's a linebacker, it's a safety, it's a running back, it's a guard, it's two guards, right? Like, it's, they're five of the top 10 players, theoretically, are players that don't have traditional value in the top 10 financially, right? So I think that's the thing that I'm having a tough time with. And again, I think it's the consistency of Sonny Styles. It's the measurements of Sonny Styles. It's how he ran, how he looked in the field work. He just seems to be checking a lot of the boxes. And I just think about, again, running, I'd be fine with Jeremiah Love there as well in terms of offensive playmaker. But I think it's just like, right now, I think I'd have a slightly higher grade on Sonny Styles because of how consistent the tape is, how consistent the offseason process has been for him. So that's kind of my thought there at seven. But if they went Jeremiah Love, again, to me, there's no wrong answer. And this is like, I think this conversation is very telling because I think this is what happens in draft rooms, right? You say Jeremiah Love, I say Sonny Styles. We each kind of give our two cents on it. And then ultimately to Adam and Dan to be like, okay, this is what we're going to do.
So, and to be clear, Styles is the guy I would go over Love. My line of demarcation is after that. So, like, the hardest debate I've had, we were talking yesterday, someone asked me, Caleb Downs or Jeremiah Love? And that's where it's, like, really, really hard for me.
Yeah, I think I'd probably go Jeremiah Love.
I think so. I think that's kind of my lean. But, like, I would go David Bailey if somehow he fell over Jeremiah Love. I think I would go Arvell Reese. I like Bailey more than him. But yeah. I would go Arvell Reese at the position before I went Jeremiah Love. And then I think on the back end, you know, like second level, I would go Sonny Styles, who's what man crush. But the next one down would be Downs. That's where Jeremiah Love kind of slots in as the best of the rest for me. But real quick, here's your wide receiver pool at 71. Elijah Surratt from Indiana, Bryce Lance, North Dakota State, Zachariah Branch, Georgia, Brennan Thompson from Mississippi State, Kendrick Law from Kentucky.
I mean, the first three names you mentioned there, I think are all guys that have tremendous developmental upside. Like you look at Bryce Lance specifically, and I think he's a guy ran a 4.3 at the combine. He's 6'3", very raw in terms of technical receiver stuff, but I think has some ability to, you know, like win vertically down the field. Like he had 15 touchdowns last year at North Dakota State. Like he's there. Elijah Surratt, again, there's some criticism of him with regards to like his role with Fernando Mendoza, how accurate Fernando was. But I look at the short area quickness. I look at how strong he is at the catch point. I think he's got number two receiver written all over him. And those are just two. And then you mentioned Thompson, I believe is his name, from Mississippi State. One of the fastest, most explosive down the field receivers. Everyone says, oh, it's because he ran a fast 40. Like that shows up on the film for me too. I think he's got some technical route running nuance. I think he adjusts the football well. And you mentioned Branch, I think was the other one from Georgia, right, Grant? Was he there? Like one of the more lower half explosive receivers in this draft class. Has again, not this player, but shades of Tyreek Hill to him in terms of like this ability to like just outrun everybody to the edge of a defense. So there's three players sitting there, or four players that I just mentioned, that are really, really, really good football players. And I think that's the thing that gives me a lot of confidence that this receiver class is I'm sure if you read 10 more names, I'd think they all could play and right. be significant at the NFL level.
Any of the wide receivers in free agency, and as we record this could change, but any of those guys interest you? Like Stephon Diggs has some off the field stuff going on, got cut by the Patriots. Christian Kirk has an injury history, but got paid huge money in free agency a couple years ago because of the talent. I mean, are we at a point where bringing Debo back at age 30 starts to get more interesting? Darnell Mooney was really good 2 years ago at the Falcons, really struggled last year. Old friend De'Ami Brown is on the best available list. Any of that stick out?
Yeah, I think the Christian Kirk one, because again, when he was in Arizona, like before, and again, his first year in Jacksonville, I thought he was a heck of a football player. Now he's like 2 years removed from that, which makes you a little bit nervous, but like kind of that traditional slot that can play outside a little bit. You mentioned Deebo Samuels. I like that if the price is right. Darnell Mooney, again, 2 years ago was looked really prolific in that offense just in terms of his ability to win down the field and create kind of some verticality to an offense. But it's interesting that all these guys are kind of a year or two removed from like their best football. And maybe they just need a change of scenery and maybe they're going to be cheap. But I think that's why I'm so interested in it, right? Like they've done it. They've got some ability. Maybe we get them in here on a 1 year flyer to add some depth and then kind of make that thing, make this offense just a little bit more dynamic, give it a little bit more depth, give it a little bit more stability with this veteran kind of leadership and experience.
We're leaving today and entering a world of Mickey Mouse waving, princess meeting and greeting, lightsaber clashing, the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror dropping, Banshee flying, Space Mountain launching, galaxy rewinding, what's the whole network galaxy rewinding, fireworks igniting, world of other worlds. For whatever you love, infinite worlds await at the most magical place on Earth, Walt Disney World Resort.
All right, I just did one more simulation of the mock here, and your best available at 7 is Reuben Bain, Sonny Styles, and Caleb Downs. We're still rolling with Sonny Styles, right?
Probably. I think the other one, like, you know, I kind of go, depending on the hour of the day, I kind of go up and down on Reuben Bain because, again, the film's really good. He's physical, like, but there are some limitations to his game, which I find unnerving. And I think the thing that I'd like to convey to fans here is, like, if that's the choice at 7, Reuben Bain, Sonny Styles, or Caleb Downs, those are all three excellent football players. Like, the film is almost unimpeachable with all three of those guys. So if you said, if Grant, you were like, man, I really get juiced up for Sonny Styles, and I stood on the table and said, man, Reuben Bain, this power, he's going to be undefeated. He's the next year adverse. Like, that is all within the realm of possibility. And then Caleb Downs, like, is maybe the second best football player, quote unquote, in this draft class. So, like, I think that's the thing, is like, there are a lot of good, there's not like a lot of, parity in this draft class. Like, the difference between, 3 and 12, not that much. The difference between 12 and probably 27, not that much. So again, like, when you look at it that way and they're kind of all in the same tier, I think Commanders fans should be very comfortable with any one of those football players. But yes, I'd probably go Sonny Styles.
I feel like there is parity in this draft class.
Like, right? Parity in the sense that, like, it's so, like, the difference between,
you're saying,
like,
everybody's kind of jumbled together.
Yeah. Yeah. Is that, that's what it, that parity,
that's parity.
Like, I thought parity was like when it was different. Like, there was
Parity means everybody's got a shot. Like, there's parity.
Oh, we got a shot then. We got parity then. I was using that completely the wrong way then.
Yeah. No, it's literally the opposite. There's so much parity in this draft class. And then, just so you know, at 71, we got some different. This time, Chris Brazell, the wide receiver from Tennessee, and Jacoby Lane, the wide receiver from USC, have fallen.
Yeah, are there any of the names there besides those guys?
Yeah, and then some of the same from before. Elijah Surratt, Bryce Lance, North Dakota State, Zachariah Branch, Georgia, Brennan Thompson, Mississippi State.
Yeah, I mean, shoot, I think all five of those dudes you just read are players. Like, Chris Brazell, I get, you'll find people that are total Chris Brazell stands. I'm not quite there yet, but he's 6'5 and ran a 4.3, so you know, like, people are going to be pretty juiced up about it. But like, when you watch that Tennessee offense, man, it's like, run fast straight or run fast and then stop. And there's just so much, there's the lack of just like nuance to the route running kind of comes to the forefront. But in terms of physical skill, how he catches the football, like, he's up there, man. Jacoby Lane from Jacoby Lane. That's right. From USC. Is that his name?
Corey Lane. Yeah. Jacoby Lane from USC.
Yeah, he's 6'4", 200 pounds, and like, had maybe like the second best after Jeremy Bernard on-field workout at the combine. Like, the ball control, the dexterity, like the body control, excuse me, the dexterity, the way he tracked the football, the way he was able to get in and out of his cuts. But then you kind of compare that to the Senior Bowl, where like, guys were trying to be really physical with him. He was having a hard time pushing through contact. Really, to me, a developmental kind of, more developmental on the physical side. He's got to fill out his frame a little bit, but the ball skills are definitely there for a player like Lane.
Yeah, his True Media catch rate was 8% over expected.
Yeah.
So that's like super elite at the catch point, right? He was the number two, for people that don't know him as well, to Mekhi Lemon, 49 for 745 this past year. He had 12 touchdowns the year before that, though. So he's one of those guys, 6 foot four, like you said, right around 195, 200. But I think he's going to be a big-time red zone threat as well. I don't know that he'll be there for them, but if he was there at 71, he'd be super intriguing.
Yeah, and again, like, to me, he's a little bit, I think there's a lot, like, there's a little bit more to work on his game than some of those other guys we just talked about. So to me, it wouldn't surprise me if he went in the fourth, hypothetically, yeah. But very talented football player.
So that'll do it for this breakdown of another wave of free agency here on Take Command. Do this for us. We're going to put together a Q&A. We're going to do our a question and answer mailbag that we've been trying to do once a week. This week, we had so many episodes just on the free agents that we didn't get to it. But if you drop comments in, our producer, Evan, will grab them. So any of your questions you have, you can put in the comments. I know people often send them to me in DMs on Instagram, at Grant H. Paulson. You can do that. I put all those in the show chat as well. And then we'll answer all the best questions on our pod to kick off next week. So send your questions in for a Take Command mailbag. For Logan, I'm Grant, saying so long. Thanks to producer Evan. And enjoy Commanders football.
Shot clocks, big shots, upsets, aces. TGL playoffs are here. First, Atlanta Drive starts their repeat run against Los Angeles Golf Club. Then, Rory's Boston Common Golf and Tiger's Jupiter Links face off in their playoff debuts. Who will advance? Keep up. It's playoffs. Tune in Tuesday, March 17th at 6:30 p.m. and 9 p.m. only on ESPN and the ESPN app.